Welcome on Orthodox Academy's podcast. Learning more about today's science with Jeanne Laperouse and our guests. Have a good listening.
Welcome to this episode, a new episode dedicated to the 3R centers of Orthodox Academy podcast. I'm today with Jenny Sandstrom from the Swiss 3RCC, the 3R Competence Center in Switzerland. Hello, Jenny. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jenny, can you introduce yourself shortly before we start this interview?
Yeah, my pleasure. So I have a research background, and I've been working in the field of neurotoxicology. And prior to arriving at the 3RCC, I was working for another organization called the Swiss Center for Applied Human Toxicology, where I was involved in research management. And I've been the executive director for the Swiss 3Rs Competence Center for a little over a year now.
Thank you, Jenny. So the Swiss 3RCC was created in 2018, and it's a very new 3R centers. But 3R's research has a long history in Switzerland. Can you tell us what structure was in place before, and how was the center created, and for what purpose? Who are its members? Can you tell us a bit more?
Yeah, it's true that comparing to many other European countries, Switzerland has a rather long history. Around 3Rs, and we had a predecessor organization called the 3Rs Foundation, which was created already in 1987. And this foundation funded 146 research projects worth around 18 million francs over the past 30 years. We also had a national research program in Switzerland, focusing on developing alternative methods to animal experimentation. And the creation of a dedicated 3Rs Competence Center was the result of a political initiative demanding to more broadly engage with different stakeholders, both from academia, from industry, animal welfare groups, and also the regulatory authorities. And there was a wish to take a more comprehensive grasp on the 3Rs implementation within the Swiss research landscape, and not only by funding research, but by also focusing on education, training, monitoring, and communication around 3Rs to facilitate the implementation. And the 3RCC was then formed as a joint initiative by all academic institutions in Switzerland that are active in animal research or that develop new approach methods, together with the Swiss Pharmaceuticals Industry Association called the Interpharma, as well as the largest Swiss animal protection group, the Schweizer Tierschutz or Swiss Animal Protection, and also the Swiss Federal Office for Food Safety and Veterinary Affairs. And the 3RCC is what we call a research infrastructure of national importance and works on a non-commercial basis.
Okay, so you have the support of several federal offices and private industry and welfare organization with you. And how are the activities of the center funded?
So the 3RCC receives its funding from the government that accounts for the most of the funding through the State Secretariat for Education, Research and Innovation, the CERI, and also the Federal Food Safety and Veterinary Office provides us with funding. And then we have additional funding as well through a sponsorship by the Interpharma, so the Pharmaceutical Industries Association. And all the funding that we're provided is given to us under for service mandates. And these are in research, education, monitoring, and communication. And the funding is given to us according to a performance agreement that we have with our funders. And this, what I mentioned previously, the research infrastructure of national importance means that we're funded under something that is called Article 15 under the Federal Act on Promotion of Research and Innovation. And this entails some particular conditions for our funding arrangement, where the full federal funding is matched by in-kind funding by our higher educational institution members. And this in-kind funding is not cash in hand that we receive, but manpower services and other investments that the universities make on behalf of the center, so to directly support the center, but also in order to implement the three R's within their institutions, and as such, I support of the three R's implementation in Switzerland.
Thank you. And with all these resources and people, what are the mission of the centers? What are the goals that you set to follow through on the three R's implementation in Switzerland?
Mm-hmm. Throughout the first half of 2021, we were working very intensively on developing a new strategy for our activities together with representatives of our member institutions. And we have now defined our mission in three parts. Firstly, to promote the recognition of 3Rs among the scientific community and the public. And secondly, to challenge research paradigms and create innovative alternatives to animal use. And thirdly, to support the development and implementation of effective 3Rs methods. So that is our three pillared mission statement. And we have also defined three long-term strategic goals. So changing mindsets is the first goal. And here, I think we can all agree that the effective implementation of 3Rs depends on the recognition of the 3Rs principles utility, and also knowledge in how to translate this into the theory, into practice. And this goal is primarily addressed through our education and training, as well as communication activities. And it aims to take the 3Rs to the core of research planning, where it's not only seen as a regulatory requirement, but where the community really fully embrace this, this principle in their work. And we aim to reach beyond the, let's say, converted audience of 3Rs enthusiasts that we do have, and really reach to the broader base of researchers in Switzerland to promote the understanding that the 3Rs implement means not only better animal welfare, but also better science. And yeah, our hope is that this will change the attitudes and behaviors and further a long-term change in how researchers approach specific questions and how future research projects are designed. So that's the first goal.
How do you promote good practice on the 3Rs?
Yeah, so the second goal that we have set is to promote good 3Rs practice. And this is to improve how 3Rs is practiced and implemented, and by this ultimately improve animal welfare, as well as elevating the quality of science. And this addresses aspects of both responsibility, reliability, but also reporting. And through this, we aim to make research more transparent and accessible. And this goal is also addressed through our activities in education and communication.
And when it comes to getting in touch with the wider community, making networks for science, maybe you have another goal to present us?
Yeah, so the third goal is around creating networks for science. The network structure of the 3RCC is intrinsic to its functioning, and to build and expand on the organization's fabric is something that we see as crucial to have an impact on how the 3Rs is implemented in the Swiss research landscape. And this means not only connecting and enabling researchers to reach the necessary competences to advance 3R science, but also to facilitate around public outreach measures to stimulate communication and exchange within communities and also beyond the scientific community towards the broader public.
That's an ambitious program that you have. Can you tell us when it comes to the use of animal in Switzerland, what are the main areas of science where animal are the most used?
Yeah, so from the Swiss Federal Food Safety and Veterinary Office statistics, we know that the majority, around 60% of animals are being used in basic research, and a further 20% for research and development. And then safety testing, educational and diagnostic use of animals together account for around 5% of animals, and the remaining 15% that are used for other purposes. And maybe it's also worth pointing out that about 62% of all animals that are being used are mice. So predominantly mice are being used.
Last year, you published a report where you made a deeper analysis of expired license of animal experimentation. Can you tell me more about it?
Mm-hmm. So the FSVO also keeps a nicely curated database on animal experimentation licenses that also, once the licenses expire, becomes public knowledge. And we made an extended analysis of the expired licenses from 2017 to 2019. And the purpose of this was to better understand which research fields animals are being used in, and to observe trends around, for instance, severity degrees, and also to use this in order for us to identify areas where we can develop targeted measures in response to this.
Can you explain what is the severity degree for the people who are not familiar with the...
So in Switzerland, we have 4 degrees of severity, and that measure the level of constraint on the animal, ranging from severity degree 0, that means no constraint, so no pain nor suffering or injury. Predominantly observational studies would go here. And then with an increasing degree of severity, so 1, 2, and 3, where 3 constitutes a severe constraint on the animal, so continuous suffering and severe pain. So that is the definition around severity degrees in Switzerland. And our one purpose of this report was to see whether we can observe changes in this and also areas of research where we have higher numbers that of animals that are being used in higher severity degrees. And we indeed identified 4 research areas that, unrelated to the severity degree, accounted for more than half of animals that are being used in Switzerland. These obviously also reflects the research volumes that you see in these research areas. And these included studies on the immune system that had the highest number of animals being used, and that was closely followed by research on the nervous system, and then animal farming and cancer research had about the same number of animals used and came in on a tiered third place. So what we could observe from this data was also that proportionally there are fewer animals used in higher severity degrees, but so the severity degree 2 and 3. But we were also able to see that the studies on the immune system and nervous system tend to have these higher severity degree classifications as compared to other research fields. And we were also able to see that despite an overall slight decrease in the total number of animals used, the relative low numbers of animals used in the severity degree 2 and 3 are despite this increasing over the past 10-year period. So this was one of the measures that we used when we developed our targeted call for 2021. When debating where priorities should be placed in implementing the 3 R's principle, it is often these experiments with the highest burden on the animals involved that comes to mind as a target. And that is why our targeted call for research projects in 2021 was entirely dedicated to finding new comprehensive 3 R's approaches to tackle a specific severity degree model.
Very interesting report. I invite people to have a look on it. I guess we can access it on your website.
Yes, and in April we hope to have the announcement of which project has been selected.
Great. We talked about how animals are used. We talked about the competencies of your center. Can you explain us what is the legislative framework for the use and protection of animals in science in Switzerland? I believe it's a bit peculiar as compared to other European countries.
Well, I believe that Switzerland is one of the few countries that has defined the dignity of animals in its Animal Welfare Act. And it defines dignity of the animal as an inherent worth that must in all cases be respected. And if you look at Switzerland's ranking internationally, there's something called the Animal Protection Index, where around 50 countries across the world are being ranked according to their animal welfare policy and legislation. And on this list, Switzerland comes in among the top countries alongside the UK, Sweden, Netherlands, Denmark and Austria. And these countries are those that are considered then having the highest standards for animal protection in the world. And indeed, researchers conducting animal experiments in Switzerland must prove that there is no alternative to the use of animals and that the experiment that they intend to conduct will cause the living beings that are being used the least harm possible, and that any suffering also needs to be justified by the overriding interests of society or the environment in the justification. So this effectively means that even though Switzerland does not have an explicit ban on animal testing of, for instance, cosmetics like in the EU, experiments on animals for testing of cosmetics are prohibited, as there are alternative methods for testing safety in this particular area.
And what are the challenges or barriers that you face in Switzerland for the implementation of the 3 R's, in particular with regards to replacement?
Well, I think we have a wealth of new approach methods that are used in science, and in some cases they do manage to entirely replace animal use, but probably most frequently still reduce the number of animals that are used. So we see, if we look at statistical trends, that while the research volumes have steadily increased in Switzerland, there was a drastic drop in the animal use between the mid-1980s and mid-1990s. And this was coinciding with a dramatic advance in cell culture technologies and alternative approaches that happened during this period. So I think we can certainly say that technological advancement will allow a significant reduction of animals, because it provides other venues to investigate specific research questions. That being said, completely replacing animals is a very difficult endeavor, and that obviously depends on what questions of research you're trying to investigate. We know that new approach methods are being deployed, and not only because they allow us to replace and reduce animals, but perhaps primarily because they allow us to advance science and to answer questions that were previously impossible to answer using only an animal model. So there are many new technologies at play that I think in the future may have a big impact also on how we conduct animal science. I think it has been previously mentioned in this podcast series, but perhaps worth mentioning nevertheless again. Computer modeling technologies, obviously, machine learning, and I think there are many more that could be mentioned, but I think what is most important to point out is that we play a crucial role in trying to stimulate continuous work on developing these new technologies, also to work on a 3 R's purpose and focus.
You also have for your 2018 and 2020 funding scheme dedicated for more than half of the resource to project for Houston developing new approach method in Switzerland, right? There is also this opportunity of funding put in place for research to develop on the 3R. On the replacement in particular?
Indeed, we as a center have focused more than half of our resources in funding development of new approach methods. They go broadly into all types of new approaches, so also computer assisted ones. In Switzerland, we're also very fortunate to have a further large funding investment of 20 million Swiss francs for the next 5-year period in the form of a research national research program on advancing the 3 R's. And this program was launched last year and has a very strong focus on innovation and technological advancement for the benefit of the 3 R's. But it also addresses aspects of implementation as well as ethical and societal aspects, which are obviously very important for the 3 R's. And as an organization, we're not only funding the development of new approach methods, but we also have a role in disseminating and promoting the use of such methods. Obviously, not only of those projects that we fund ourselves, but more broadly than that. And this is a complex task, but we're currently setting up new structures to better fulfill this role and to support our members in their 3 R's implementation work.
In Switzerland, you have a direct democracy that allows the population to launch popular initiatives. How concerned are Swiss citizens when it comes to animal welfare, in particular in science? Is it an important concern for society? Were there popular initiatives in the past on animal welfare?
Mm-hmm. I think the fact that initiatives to ban animal research are debated at regular intervals, both on national and cantonal levels in Switzerland, really illustrates that the Swiss people are concerned. about these aspects and are also interested in questions around animal welfare and animal rights, not just the welfare of laboratory animals, but also of farm animals. So I think that's important to stress as well. And we've had several previous votes on this types of topics. In 1985, in 1992, and also in 1993, all of these were previously rejected by the popular votes. However, I think it's also worth pointing out that none of them were quite as far reaching as the initiative that currently lies for us.
Yes, there will be a public consultation following a popular vote on February the 13th this year. What is the scope of this consultation and what could be the consequences should the population endorse the ban? And what lesson can Europe learn from this consultation?
I think the current initiative is a rather extreme one, as I said, in the sense that it does not only aim to ban research on animals, but it is also aiming to ban clinical research as well as the trade of any product that has been tested on animals. So this is seen as too radical even by some groups such as the Swiss Animal Protection or Animal Free Research. And because it is so far-reaching, the consequences of it, if it's approved, are very difficult to predict, and the implementation of it would be rather complex because this ban would likely conflict with a lot of international agreements that Switzerland has signed. However, I think it's safe to say that the consequences would be very negative for society as a whole. Not only would it be devastating for Swiss science and its pharmaceutical and chemical industries, but the population would effectively lose access to new medical products. For instance, the vaccine that we now are using to contain the pandemic would, under the passing of this initiative, not be permitted in Switzerland. That being said, I think that the direct democracy offers Swiss voters the opportunity to voice their opinions on specific questions that are of concern. And I think this also may have consequences beyond Switzerland and around the world. Popular votes like these tend to stimulate the public debate. And I think that is a good thing. I think it has also opened a dialogue between society and science, and that too is very positive. It gives scientists an opportunity to explain why and how they are conducting animal research. And it has already facilitated the more transparent communication about animal research in Switzerland. And this is work that will also continue certainly beyond this vote. I think it will be very interesting to find out how the Swiss population position itself on this vote. And it will be interesting to see what other proposals may come up in the coming years. I'm sure that the debate will not stop with this vote. That's quite clear.
So a huge focus on Switzerland in February. Yes, banning animal testing and products and the importation of products on which animal research has been conducted would have important consequences on freedom of research, but also you mean that animal research could be conducted in countries where the level of protection of animal is not as good as in Europe or Switzerland.
Absolutely. I think that is perhaps a trend that we're already seeing, and I think if you would, because the vote is really, I mean, the vote would effectively mean that only alternative methods would be allowed. The initiative could potentially because of how far-reaching it is, this initiative may not only forbid animal research, but it may also, depending on how it is implemented, effectively forbid advancement on any alternative methods as well. Because as we know, alternative methods, in vitro methods, still depend on the use of animal-derived products, and those would, of course, not be permitted. So I think it is an aspect that is very worth considering, because as far-reaching as this is, it may effectively ban any use of anything that is not completely animal-free. Or human free, which many in vitro methods depend on, for instance, that we derive cells from human patients, which in that case would be a clinical or would require an authorization as a clinical study, and that would of course then not be permitted. So I think it could paradoxically not only prevent the use of animals, but also prevent the use of alternative methods and advancement of alternative methods. So
Jenny, is there anything you want to say to conclude this podcast as a conclusion?
Yeah, well, I think that that the application of the 3Rs principle represent a central part of responsible research, and I think it's very encouraging to see the different emerging 3Rs efforts across Europe and also across the world, and this certainly offers a very broad base for us to collaborate with on an international level, and to also through these international contacts advance on 3Rs implementation.
Thank you for being with us. Thank you so much for sharing all this information with us.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you wish to learn more about the 3R centers and the alternatives to animal testing, check out our website, academy.altatox.be. You enjoyed this podcast? Please leave a review on Facebook and other social media.